Dash, valued at $55, totally free and free shipping. You're guaranteed to get clear and stay clear, or you get your money back. Call now, 800-772-7610. That's 800-772-7610. One more time, ready? 800-772-7610.
A former USA Gymnastics sports doctor is pleading guilty to multiple charges of sexual assault. In a Michigan courtroom today, Dr. Larry Nassar said he sexually assaulted several young athletes, including victims under the age of 13. In a courtroom today, Dr. Nassar tried to explain his behavior.
I'm so horribly sorry that this was like a match that turned into a forest fire out of control.
Nassar did try to put a positive spin in the courtroom.
I think this is important, that what I've done today to help move a community forward and away from the hurting.
He faces 25 to 40 years in prison. Earlier this year, Nassar did plead guilty to child pornography charges. Bitcoin, the virtual currency, is heading for the mainstream, unregulated by U.S. and European laws. An increasing number of legitimate businesses are accepting the digital currencies, saying it's too big to ignore. Among U.S. companies which allow or accept the digital currency are Overstock.com, Expedia.com, and WordPress. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Lumber Liquidators is slashing prices on their most popular floors so you can get exclusive Black Friday weekend deals, like 50% off Brazilian cherry waterproof woodlook tile, 50% off Bellawood dark Caspian chestnut pre-finished hardwood, 32% off water-resistant laminate like Tuscan fusion maple, plus more deals at your local store and special financing. The Yellow and Black Friday flooring sale ends Tuesday. Visit your local Lumber Liquidators or lumberliquidators.com today.
CBS says there are new sexual misconduct allegations against fired anchor Charlie Rose. USA Radio's Chris Barnes has more.
A day after he was dismissed by CBS, PBS, and Bloomberg News because of a bombshell report in the Washington Post where eight women alleged sexual harassment by the 75-year-old newsman, the network CBS says three more women claim Rose committed lewd acts with them there, the behavior including grabbing them and whispering sexual innuendos. A CBS This Morning spokeswoman says they learned about the cases not from the HR department, but through their own investigation.
Consumers will be hitting the stores for Christmas bargains early this year, spending an average of $967. Some may even shop on Thanksgiving Day. John Clemens reports.
We spoke to Anna Serafin Smith with the National Retail Federation about their survey of when the shoppers will be hitting the stores.
On Thanksgiving Day itself, it's about 20% of the American population, which equals to 32 million people. It's still a lot of people, but it's only a fraction when you compare it to the 115 million shopping on Black Friday, which is probably one of the main reasons why we're seeing a lot of retailers change their strategy in regards to Thanksgiving Day and whether they're going to have their stores open or closed or modify their store hours.
The survey taken by the National Retail Federation found that 66% of the consumers shopping early are doing so to take advantage of all the deals and promotions being offered.
You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
It's time for Legends of Success with John Resnick. Each week, John presents the most original success stories in America. Passionate and inspiring stories from some of the most innovative and successful entrepreneurs alive today. This is Legends of Success. Here's John Resnick.
And welcome to today's edition of Legends of Success, America's program that introduces you to our country's most respected entrepreneurs and acclaimed individuals. These are people who have overcome obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top. I'm John Resnick, and as always, I'm really glad you're with us today. Folks, when you take a look at the challenge and pursuit of overcoming obstacles and setbacks to make it to the top, Paul Orfila's story almost stands alone. You see, Paul Orfila has never had a day without overcoming obstacles because Paul's daily routine includes functioning with attention deficit disorder and dyslexia. As a kid, he was cast aside by his teachers and principals and written off as an incapable student after failing or being expelled from 4 out of 8 schools that his parents enrolled him in. Undeterred, Paul never gave up and persevered to barely graduate high school. And on a probationary and conditional basis, Paul negotiated his way to attend college at USC. Now, as many of you know, this is Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's, which is one of America's most amazing success stories. Let's welcome back our friend and guest, Paul Orfila. Paul, welcome back, my friend.
Oh, thank you, John. Thank you for having me.
Well, the last time you were here, we got so overwhelmed with emails and phone calls. Your story's fascinating, and I'm just so glad you're here. But the one question that I wanted to ask you, Paul, can you give just an overview for our listeners today, the Kinko's, the size, the locations, the amount of business it does, and then we're going to pick up back in your college days.
Well, Kinko's today has 1,500 locations, and we're in several countries, in Asia and Europe and the Middle East. I think we do well over $2 billion in business, and 30,000 workers, co-workers.
You're big, you're international, you're in how many different countries now, Paul?
Well, Japan, China, Korea, Australia, Mexico, England, Netherlands, Dubai, and Kuwait.
And I think one of the best accolades you received, Fortune magazine 3 times named your company one of the best places to work in the country. And I think that's quite important to you, isn't it?
It was very important. I think that the idea, I don't like the idea of working for people. The idea is you work with people.
Yes.
Because the idea is to entice everybody to go in the same place. And if it's a for relationship, I just don't think that's as oriented as it should be.
No question about it. Well, what I want to do is on our first segment, we went through your life in your earlier years struggling with attention deficit disorder and dyslexia. And for the question I have for you, Paul, alluding from our intro, is that I would think that anyone who struggled with the battles that you had with the school system as a young kid would never want to see the inside of a classroom again. But yet you went on and negotiated your way into USC. What was your thought there?
Well, the draft was a big motivator back then.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I never really wanted to talk up to anybody. And I know if I wasn't a college graduate and I met somebody, I'd always have a little chip on my shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought college was fun. And I knew that I liked business, and as a business major, I'd find myself. Because I just gravitated to that section of the bookstore anyway. And I was really looking forward to taking my business school classes.
So you've always been intrigued. Was part of your drive, as you look back, you know, in high school, junior high school, and teachers are saying you're incapable, although they did a test and found out you had an IQ of 130, but was part of your drive proving the naysayers wrong, Paul?
No, not really.
Never?
I don't think that's a good motivation. I think all that negative energy just doesn't pay off. No, my drive was because I knew I'd build a big business. And when I always knew that when second and third grade, I figured I'd have somebody be able to read to me anyway. So I knew I'd have my own business my whole life. And it didn't really influence me.
Paul, you never once let those learning challenges, we'll call them, because obviously you're a perfect example of how they were not disabilities.
They were challenges that you not only overcame but became stronger working through them. But you never let attention deficit disorder or dyslexia ever discourage you, did you?
Well, I was able to work with my skills. In other words, not being able to read is a good way of getting out of work. Kinko's was a very good self-manageable business. The relationship between the worker and the customer was so good. The worker got so much out of the job. They could see the work being done. They could contribute to the customer. They saw the sense of purpose, helping somebody get a job. That relationship was so good, I could leave the store. And by leaving, I told people I trusted them. And so not being able to read and having ADD actually was a blessing for me. Because my job at Kinko's really was going store to store to store and looking for people doing right and taking it, you know, and using it and looking for opportunity.
Yeah, sure. And Paul, this what we're also getting close to here is your theory and practice. And by the way, folks, if you want to read one of the best stories in your life, the book is called Copy This, Lessons Learned from a Hyperactive Dyslexic Who Turned a Bright Idea into One of America's Best Companies, written by our guest, Paul Orfla, the founder of Kinko's. But what you're referring to, and it's in your book here, is that you didn't want to work so much in your business as you wanted to work on your business. And can you share that with the listeners a little?
I was never good at these machines. I never knew how to run the machines at Kinko's.
Mm-hmm.
My job was always being across the street looking in. And with that perspective, I was always on my business. I was trying to figure out the strategies and ways of staying in business. And not for being inside the store, not being really capable of running these machines, it gave me that perspective. So being in your business is you're so busy, you can't get anything important done. You can't get any work for tomorrow done. Being in your business means you're preoccupied with the present and the past. Being on your business means you're worried about the future. And a lot of times our own preoccupation with guilt, our own preoccupation of self-importance, keeps you in the business and not on the business. For me, I was never competent enough to be in the business. I always had to be on my business.
Well, you had a different set of competencies. And I want to go back to your original location. I find this fascinating. And I want to cut to the chase on this part a little bit. The spring of 1970, you're in the middle of your senior year. Your group of students were assigned to do a report on Paul Brenn's Irvine Company, and you were asked to go make copies. An epiphany happened. Tell us exactly what happened and what burst of energy went through your mind.
Well, first of all, I've always been preoccupied with seeing customers and how they buy things.
Yes.
And so I saw people in line, and it's a longer story than that. My dad made women's clothes. Mm-hmm. Over time, his inventory went out of style. I was in the vegetable business. And over time, my inventory rotted. I looked at the Xerox machine, and I kept thinking, wow, I don't have to fight my inventory. I saw all the customers in line. And when they're in line, that tells you something's right's going on. It was a easily scalable business. And I remember taking a marketing course, and they studied the product life cycle.
Sure.
And I just kept imagining all the things you could do with the copier. And I knew I was in the beginning of a great product life cycle.
Well, that's an amazing, excuse me, it's an amazing epiphany you had. You learned from your father's past business, and then all of a sudden it just came to you. Folks, what's interesting is about this first location, how quick Paul Orfila took a move. When we get back from the break, from going to make copies and see people standing in line coming up with the epiphany of this would be a great business, we're going to hear about that first location. What did it look like? How big was it? And how did the start of Kinko's kick off in life to be one of America's greatest success stories? I'm John Resnick. Our guest is Paul Orfila. You're listening to Legends of Success.
This report is brought to you by Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation. Throughout her decades-long career as a recording artist, Cyndi Lauper has had many hits, including Girls Just Wanna Have Fun, Time After Time, and the score for the Broadway show Kinky Boots. Whether on MTV or Broadway, her lyrics strike a chord with listeners everywhere. Now, Cindy's using her songwriting talents for a personal cause. Inspired by the psoriasis community, the pop icon is releasing a new song to help instill hope and courage in those who live with the disease. Grammy, Emmy, and Tony Award winner Cyndi Lauper.
I've had psoriasis since 2010. And after meeting other people living with the disease and listening to their experiences, I wanted to write about hope because hope is what we all need.
To learn more and listen to her new song, visit seemetoknow.com. Cindy is a spokesperson for Novartis Pharmaceuticals Corporation.
This is Chamber President Chris Phelan inviting you to the 29th Annual Business and Home Expo with our restaurant showcase. This wonderful event will happen on Thursday, November 9th at our new location, Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington from 2 to 7 p.m. If you're a business or organization and would like to participate, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or visit our website at huntertonchamber.org.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Hi, this is Steve Forbes of Forbes Magazine. When you want to learn who America's most successful people are, read our Forbes 400 list. When you want to hear firsthand how they got there, listen to Legends of Success with John Resnick. Legends of Success is one of the most original radio programs in years. Legends of Success with John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. You know, other well-known entrepreneurs and legends of success who had severe learning challenges in their youth were Charles Schwab and Richard Branson. All these legends were labeled as academic failures in their youth. It's amazing what happens when you have the guts and the will to survive and succeed. Paul, we'll go back. You're at USC. You go to make copies. There's a line. You've got an epiphany. This would be a great business. There's a line at a copy machine. Tell us about the first location and how long did it take you to open that first location? How'd you do it and where was it?
Well, I saw the opportunity in April, and I was going in my fifth year of college. So that summer, I had a girlfriend in Santa Barbara, and I went to Santa Barbara, and I didn't see a copy center. So that summer, I looked for a location, and I rented a little location for $100 a month. It was basically a garage. And, you know, you don't have a lot of room for customers in the garage, so I made a little flap out in front, and the customers came. In California, you can do that. Everybody came outside. They never went inside the store.
Mm-hmm.
So I sold copies, and I figured I was lucky enough to be in the main artery of the campus. Everybody was driving by. So I sold pens and paper. Now, everybody the first day of school needs a notebook and pen. So I put my notebooks on the sidewalk, had a sidewalk sale. I sold a lot of notebooks and pens. And then I would put guys with backpacks, and they would go to the girls' dorms and hustle notebooks and pens. And then also, we did film processing, like a photo mat, and we had a copier.
Sure.
But after being in the store, I noticed that the copier was by far the most successful product I had. And you know, I was lucky to leave my first business because I had to go 100 miles back and forth to college. So I only worked Tuesdays and Thursdays at the store when I first opened up.
Mm.
And after 3-4 months, we had a manager. I never had to work in the store. My job when I worked was going out hustling, always going door to door, and I love door to door work. I love hustling. So I went out petting out. I passed out lots of flyers. I stuffed many mailboxes. And the next, so that was the first year. Then the next year, I was stupid enough to buy a printing press and a camera. Oh, my God. I didn't know how to run that machine at all.
Why would you buy it?
Oh, because it in those days, it was quick printing, and the copier was tangential. So I was joining a strategy, a Me Too strategy, which was stupid.
Mm-hmm.
When I went hustling, I had a whole panoply of things I could sell customers. If they didn't need copies, I could sell them copy paper. I could sell them toner because I was buying in bigger and bigger quantities. So in that 100-square-foot first location, I was wholesaling paper, toner, copies, stationery, sidewalk sale, film processing. So all of this worked well.
And, Paul, didn't you say that your original store, actually I got it out of your book, you called your original store was a hothouse of experimentation. I would imagine that you didn't have a real formal business plan going into business. Am I correct?
I personally believe a business plan should be one page.
I love it.
And I didn't have a formal. I sort of did. And I would reappraise constantly. What I would do is I'd take trips and wander. And I'd always leave for 3 weeks. And this is the middle of my career.
Sure.
Or early part. I'd leave for 3 weeks. I'd go to the stores. I'd do et cetera. Because you get a clean break from your business, and then you get to study, look at it for what it really was. And I would make a priority list of things I wanted to do to change the business when I got back to the office. So I considered the strategic plan. I was redoing it constantly.
But isn't that important for all business entrepreneurs, especially the startups? You know, you start out with a plan, and there's so many great plans put down on paper, but in actuality, they never get pulled off, and you've got to be wise enough to adapt and change to become successful.
Exactly. The best thing you can do with the plan is make it, try to do what you can to implement the plan, throw it away, and then make a new plan every 3 months because you need to constantly reappraise. I'm going to give you an example. I have a bunch of apartment buildings. This is about 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking to a bunch of students, and they tell me, I ask them if they would rent a microwave oven. And they all say, oh, yes, I'd rent a microwave oven. So I found a guy, and I was going to rent microwave ovens the first week of school. So I figured, well, why not rent little refrigerators and TVs and VCRs? Well, lo and behold, the TV and the VCR rented the best. So I figured, at that point, I wasn't considering going in the video rental business, but I ended up going in the video rental business.
And?
And that's the business I ended up doing for about 5 years, then we sold it.
Wow.
But I had no idea I was going to the video rental business. My customers took me where I had to go in business.
You don't intellectualize too far into the future, because that's kind of dangerous, isn't it, Paul?
No, you do have to do that, too. No, I did. I was worried about the laser printer. I was always looking. You know, in business, a healthy dose of paranoia is very important.
Oh, couldn't agree with you more.
The people that wipe you out in business isn't the people you see across the street. It's somebody from left field. For an example, a CD-ROM wiped out Encyclopedia Britannica.
Isn't that right?
For me, prior to selling my business, I was very nervous about the laser printer. I kept thinking, how do I compete with the laser printer? So, no, I was fully paranoid. And I kept thinking, in the early 80s, I used to sit behind the counter and I'd observe, you know, the people bringing us originals,
mm-hmm.
how many of them were handwritten, typewriter written, or done on a print impact printer,
sure.
Some sort of printer. And I was always looking at that kind of material thinking, well, what's going to happen with the laser printer? What's going to happen when these printers proliferate?
Mm-hmm.
No, I was fully paranoid from day one. And you can worry about things in the long run, short run. That's what's being on your business. You're worrying all the time, reappraising.
Well, I'll tell you, if you become too complacent, no matter how successful you are, that's when you start to fall at risk.
Complacency, believing your own BS.
Yeah, right.
Also being preoccupied with being busy. Preoccupied with being busy, you don't see the opportunities. Now, I noticed my father, he had a factory, he made women's clothes. And he hired he always, in the early 70s, wanted to go into label denims.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened? He couldn't get it done because he was so busy. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think a better decision would have made? Going to label denims and being one of the first people with label denims in this early 70s? I mean, that was a niche. It's unbelievably good niche.
No question. Well, before you opened your first location, quote you have in your book, copy this, you even said, I could not let myself get swept under by all the monotonous busy work that comes along with starting a company. And expound on that a little, would you please?
Well, I got a D in this class, but I actually enjoyed. I always went to school. I never cared about the grades, but I remember this guy giving a lecture about management and policy. And he said, when you start your business, you're always managing the business. You're in there every day being a manager. But as you grow, you get more and more into policy, setting direction. And I took that to heart. And from day one, I knew I didn't want to be in those stores. I wanted to be understanding those stores. And there's a big conceptual difference there.
Well, and you are almost forced to be a big picture guy because with being dyslexic and having ADD, you're not cut out for those types of details. You have gifts in other areas that you were developing.
And if you read these biographies of Howard Hughes, J. Paul Getty, Andrew Carnegie, they were never in their business.
No question.
Were never there. They were always on their business, away from their headquarters, away from their factories, strategically figuring out what the hell that business was all about.
Well, that's exactly right. No question. When you started out, did it take a lot of money? I know your location was 8 by 12 feet. It was so small that when you added your second copier, you had to put it out on the sidewalk. There was no room on the inside. Did you need seed money? Did you borrow capital?
I borrowed $5,000 from Bank of America. My dad co-signed it. I lost all my savings the April of the year prior. I had $5,000 I lost in the bond market, which it was very good to lose all your money a couple times in life. I did it by the time I graduated from college twice. I lost all my savings.
Builds character, doesn't it?
Yeah, it builds resilience. And you realize that things can go bad. My dad would always tell me, the biggest reason you fail in life is your past success. It'll go to your head.
Love it. I love it. I mean, that's just fabulous. And when you were starting out, did you have personal mentors?
No, wait. We'll go back to how I started.
Oh, sure, please.
So I borrowed the $5,000, and then I paid up the loan from September to January. And then I'd go to the bank, and I started getting a credit of my own, and I had a real bad summer. So I got cash flow loans. But I did it all for 30 years, we did it all on cash flow, internal cash flow.
That's
the
fine.
Bad part of that, which I really enjoyed the most of my business, is managing the cash. I really enjoyed it. And managing the checkbook to zero was a real fine art.
Yeah.
And how I would do it is, and it's very hard, because the government really isn't your friend in business, because you have more receivables, you have more inventory, you have more leasehold improvements. And the government comes around every 3 or 4 months, takes all your cash away.
No question. Let me take a quick break on that because I got a break to make some money here ourselves. And we get back, Paul. I want to hear how this leveraged out. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's, will be right back on Legends of Success.
Missed part of this week's great Legends of Success interview? No problem. You can hear each week's show online on our website at legendsofsuccess.com.
We're talking about the Washington Post. We're talking about the women involved. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes time to develop a case and file a case because you just don't go file a case without some proof. And we're getting proof.
Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore saying he's gearing up to sue his sexual misconduct accusers. That audio, of course, courtesy of the Alabama Cable Network. Moore also said you can expect additional information to come out regarding this story. Three people are still missing after a U.S. Navy plane crashed into the ocean southeast of Okinawa, Japan. While a major rescue operation continues for the three people missing, former Navy Commander Kurt Lippold says what people will be looking for at the scene of the accident.
As they do the investigation, they will take every aspect of that into account. First and foremost, they're going to want to talk to our witnesses that were on board. What did they hear? What did they see? What were the communications that may have been going on?
The sun did just rise in Japan, so hopefully it will be easier to find those missing soldiers. You're listening to USA Radio News. My name is Tim Berg.
Everyone loves liberty. Our rights come from God, not from government. So why are you letting other people tell you what's best for your health care? Exercise your freedom with Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare is a community of people who voluntarily share one another's medical costs. Liberty believes people should make decisions for themselves and for their families. Members are able to take back the freedom to make their own decisions about their health care. Freedom from guilt or doubt about how your money is used. You have the freedom to direct your health care. not to be dictated to by bureaucrats. Stop letting others tell you what to do and join a community of like-minded people. Exercise your freedom. Join Liberty HealthShare and take back the control of your health care while helping those around you. Call us at 855-58-LIBERTY for more information or check us out online at libertyhealthshare.org. That's libertyhealthshare.org.
On Legends of Success, you hear exactly how our legends made it to the top. And for today's guest, Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's, you can read it all in his book, Copy This. Folks, this is a must-read book. Again, whether you like business or not, what an incredible story of one of America's greatest success stories. Paul, before we took a break, we're talking about how you were building the business, and I was asking you about seed money, and you borrowed $5,000. And tell us again how you managed cash flow and expanded.
Well, in the early days, we had more of a liberal policy. It was tax policy more for the business person.
Sure.
We had these investment tax credits. I had jobs credits. If I hired somebody, I can get a credit for their salary. So we made money, but we were kind of the tax person helped us a lot. So then we had Ronald Reagan and the Reagan Revolution. That's what really kind of messed me up, is they got rid of all the loopholes.
Mm-hmm.
And then you would do things. Let's say I open a new store. We open a new store. I'd negotiate with Xerox to give me 3 months free trial on the machine. So those first 3 months, I'd charge 2.5 cents a copy, and I'd blast so many copies out of that. I'd run those copiers to Kingdom Come. 24 hours a day, I'd blast those copies. So I'm building my primary demand of copying, and I'm getting all that cash flow from Xerox. And then because we had good credit, I always paid my bills. I got 40 days of my paper bills. I got all my major vendors gave me some time. So I could stretch my cash flow a great deal. And then I hate to say this, but Xerox had such a rough time billing sometimes that they would forget to bill you for a year.
Oh, God bless America. But they really became, which I think is another key to growing a business, they became a good business partner for you, didn't they, Paul?
Oh, very good. You know, very good.
And isn't that important for all startup businesses? Instead of, you see so often, I know bidding is important, but I think relationships are one of the most important key elements in anyone's success. Tell us a little about that, Paul.
Oh, I would be nutty. I would go to my lobby. This is when we got bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And if I saw somebody waiting in the lobby and they didn't have magazines and the lobby person didn't extend themselves, I'd get really irritated. And if they were waiting 10 extra minutes for somebody in our company for an appointment,
mm-hmm.
I would get that executive and get real mad at them. You don't keep anybody waiting. And my philosophy was you make those vendors part of your workforce. And I could always tell when I got the loyalty of the salespeople. I'd say, well, I don't know if they'll go for this. In other words, he was part of that word saying there, I'm going to have to fight them on it, meant that he was on my side against his own company. And that's when I knew I could work. That was a good sign.
That's a very good sign. And that's an important lesson, too. We really want to drive home. You know, strategic alliances have never been out of vogue. They just haven't been promoted enough. And building a business, there's no relationship like longstanding old relationships in so many cases. Am I right?
Oh, yes. I've had the same accountants, the same lawyers, the same. I've got a whole litany of competent people. But what's unfortunate, when you start your business,
yes.
When I started my business, my percentage of working with competent people was very low because, you know, if the surf was up, I couldn't get anybody to show up at the store.
All right. You're right at the beach in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
All right.
So as you work, you find cadres of people that are more and more competent. And the more and more competent people attract competent people.
Yes.
But when I started, I did not necessarily work with people that were reliable.
Well, it's interesting. Jack Welch, who was on the show just weeks ago, continues to tell his strategy of constantly getting rid of the bottom 25%. Doesn't mean
I don't believe in that.
Oh, really?
No. I think Jack Welch is a ruthless businessman.
Wow. Tell me more.
I don't agree with his strategy at all.
Well, he was saying, I'd like to talk about that a little. He was saying that if anybody gets fired, they don't get fired like Donald Trump fires people. He says,
We try to work with them. They know a year ahead of time what they're supposed to accomplish, and if they can't accomplish it, the bottom 25% who are not loyal to the business and build the business, he constantly replenishes. Now, you don't agree with that?
No.
Tell me why.
I think first of all, you always stack rank your people. Mm-hmm. You work in the bottom 10% or 15%. But you try to salvage it at all costs. And you do not have a ruthless culture where somebody is working with you for 20 years as a wife and three kids, and you motivate them out of fear. I think Jack Welch motivated people out of fear, not the joy of success. And what's indicative of the business Jack Welch built is I was just in Dayton, Ohio,
mm-hmm.
and I went by the place where they built the jet engines. That gravel... And it's an active factory. The parking lot was not paved. They had boarded up windows. Their little tubes on top of the thing didn't even paint GE. What do you think those people are doing? They're fudging their numbers they're fudging themselves to make those numbers. And me, driving along the street, an American citizen, looking at one of the best American companies, seeing something like that, do you think I had a bad view of America and General Motors?
Wow.
If you don't think enough of your factory to paint it from the outside, how do you feel on the inside?
Yeah, no. Well, that's an excellent
point.
And
I know people in real estate, several people in real estate.
Mm-hmm.
They deal with General Electric, and they're notorious. The credit company, at the 11th hour, they'll renegotiate the deal.
Really?
They'll shake your hands, and they'll renegotiate. I do not respect General Electric, and I'll come on record. I've written a column about it.
Now, wow.
I do not respect that ruthless culture of fear.
Well, I've got to. I'm
better off by motivating people, and that fear is just a short-term motivator.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm motivated to get Jack back or Jeff M out and find out what's the story there. Because
I'll send you a copy of my letter.
I would love to see it. Love to see it, folks. Boy, we're getting some great perspective here. Our guest today.
I don't see how a General Electric. I had a rough enough time running a copying business.
Well,
the hell can they run all these different kinds of businesses?
Yeah. Well, you know what I think one of the problems. I personally have a fondness for privately held companies more than public companies. You know, it seems to be two different cultures I see so often, and not all public companies are like this. UPS does a phenomenal job. FedEx workers are always happy, you know, two in the industry you're familiar with. But there's so many with publicly held companies. You've got such a drive for quarterly earnings and shareholder value that oftentimes employees are sacrificed. And I think you've got some merit to your statements, but I wasn't aware that I'm going to bring one of those guys back and ask him some of these.
How does this big shot realize how you run a jet engine business and a finance company?
Well, I've always wondered.
How do you run all those different businesses and be so smart to run them all? Come on. I remember I lost my $5,000 I told you about earlier.
But don't tell me you invested in General Electric.
No, I bought it in conglomerates back in the early 70s.
Yep.
60s conglomerates. The idea was you're such a smart business person, you can run any kind of business. I had Belkling, Temco, Vought, Gulf and Western. That's a bunch of baloney. The good businesses are the ones that stick to what they know.
Wow.
And General Electric makes a lot of money from its finance division. How do you know what's going on in that finance division?
I guess you won't be getting a loan from GMAC this week. Hey, Paul, I got to take a quick break. We'll come back and continue this. Ladies and gentlemen, some great perspective from Paul Orfila, the founder of Kinko's. We'll be back right after this.
This report is brought to you by the National Safety Council. According to a National Safety Council poll, approximately 1 in 4 Americans has been directly affected by the opioid crisis. They may know someone who has overdosed, someone who is addicted, or they may have become addicted themselves. The National Safety Council has launched the Stop Everyday Killers campaign nationwide to literally illustrate the faces behind the numbers. The campaign includes a memorial wall made of pills, individually hand-carved with the faces of the 22,000 people lost last year to prescription opioid overdose. The memorial will travel across the country in the coming months. The campaign also seeks to educate about the scope of the problem and promote proven solutions. Deborah Herzman, President and CEO of the National Safety Council.
The opioid crisis is the most fatal drug epidemic in recorded U.S. history. It claims a life every 24 minutes. The Stop Everyday Killers campaign will play a critical role in shifting the national attitude about opioid painkillers while simultaneously prompting visitors to take life-saving actions.
To learn more, visit StopEverydayKillers.org.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it!
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
You're listening to Legends of Success with John Resnick. For more information, visit John's website at legendsofsuccess.com. Learn about the legends, upcoming guests, get contact information, listen to the best of legends, see photos, and more at legendsofsuccess.com.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick, having a great discussion today. And again, our guest today is Paul Orfla, the founder of Kinko's. I want to get back to your story here. By the end of 1970s with Kinko's, you had, what, about 80 locations at the end of your first decade, correct?
Yes.
Okay. You have in your book, you're quoted as saying, finding key partners is the most important ingredient in staying on your business. Tell us, as you grew this business, how you would select a partner, people you liked. And I want to add that there is also a whole list in here, Paul Orfila's personality test in his book, folks. You got to get it. There's 11 points. Tell us about some of those, Paul.
Well, and I don't know how to sit still, so I could never do it at my office. I hated my office. I couldn't do it in the little rooms. I always took people out to dinner or lunch, not mostly dinner in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to see what they were like when they were drinking. In Latin, there's a term, in vito veritas. In wine, there is truth. You could tell people how they treat the waiters. If they're terse to their waiters, that's a big thing. How they order their food. Mm-hmm. I observed them. I'd ask them after, hey, how they, about their brothers and sisters and their parents. And for whatever reason, they have a beef to grind with their parents or their brother or something, they're not thoughtful at Christmas or the holidays, I X them off the list. To me, number one, is if you come down at birth canal and you like your parents, that's a big sign of loyalty and if you get along with people.
Sure. Oh, absolutely. So that's interesting. So you're looking for partners. You don't interview them so much in the office. It's
no,
more out of the office.
No, out of the office.
Fantastic. In 1980s, you made a shift. So I'm trying to cover all this. You made a shift, Paul, from campus locations to small business market, okay? And you did one of the things that was incredible. You were the first pioneer in your industry to go 24-hour service. Am I correct?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, I had an experience with Kinko's. Not, maybe I'll bore somebody with this, but I was doing a presentation on succession planning at about 150 CPAs. 11 o'clock at night, I decided to change my agenda of a presentation because I knew I could make it better. If it wasn't for Kinko's, I was in there at 2 o'clock in the morning, dropped my stuff off. I had to make thousands of copies. Went home, took a shower. I think I had about an hour to get a nap. Came back, picked those copies up while they're still hot. Went to the presentation, made it in time. I never could have done that without Kinko's. I'm John Resnick. Our guest is Paul Orfila. You're listening to Legends of Success.
This is a special alert to consumers who owe back taxes to the IRS.
Due to the financial hardship consumers are facing during the decline in the U.S. economy, the Internal Revenue Service has made it easier to settle tax problems. An open phone line has been established by National Tax Relief. Grab a pen or put this number in your cell phone, but call 1-800-210-0311 today. That's 1-800-210-0311. When you call, you'll get information and see if you qualify. If you owe back taxes to the IRS and can't afford to pay them back, there's no need to fear anymore. You may qualify for a program that could settle your tax problems and save you money. For free information and to see if you qualify, call National Tax Relief today at 1-800-210-0311. That's 1-800-210-0311. 1-800-210-0311.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you in business, not a member of the chamber? Come to the Hunterdon County Chamber Expo to see what it's all about and meet other business owners. Enjoy the restaurant showcase and enter to win the door prize just for business entries. The Chamber offers special benefits for new memberships during the Expo. So join us at Next Level Arena on Case Boulevard in Flemington on Thursday, November 9th from 2 to 7 p.m. Don't miss it.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community business and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com.
Back to the Legends of Success. Once again, here's John Resnick.
Our guest today is Paul Orfila on Legends of Success, the founder of Kinko's. Why was 24-hour service so important to you when you started it? And were you, in fact, the first person to do that?
Oh, no, no. Other people were 24 hours.
24 hours in the copy business?
No, I was the first in the copy. No,
that's what I meant.
No. There's a guy in San Diego that did it, and I saw his business. But most importantly, I was at talking to a man who had a bunch of convenience markets called Sheetz's in Pennsylvania.
Sheetz, they're good friends of ours.
You know what happened? I was talking to him. And he said, you know, we would have these convenience markets. They would do maybe $3,000 a day in business. But we would keep track of sales from midnight to 6 in the morning, and maybe we would do $40 in business. So we'd close the store from midnight to 6 in the morning. And he said, you know, the strangest thing I never understood, our whole daytime business would drop 50%.
Really?
So what'd the guy tell you? If you go 24 hours a day, your daytime business doubles, which it did. That's why we're open 24 hours.
And I believe some of the Walmarts do the same thing. I think in your mind, psychologically, you know they're never closed and you can always depend on them.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
That's it.
Incredible.
And so we open 24 hours.
Well,
so I leave the company and we get this McKinsey group in. That's why I really have a disdain for big shots. 11,000 feet baloney.
Yeah.
So they come in and they get their little stopwatch. And they say, you know, you're not making money from 24 hours a day. I mean, you're not making money in the midnight shift.
Mm-hmm.
So what if they could save us $3 million a year or whatever.
Mm.
So what do we do? Lately, since I left, we cut back 24 hours. I mean, isn't the art of business, it's really an art. I think it's business doesn't get credit for being an art.
Oh, there's no question about it. And
the
there's...
art of business is seeing what isn't there as opposed to seeing what's there.
Yeah.
In the 24 hours, the art was seeing what wasn't there.
It's so important. And I go back to some of my comments before. So many people think that business has to be laid out on paper, all the thoughts and all the procedures, and there's a lot of art to it rather than science. Am I correct?
Now, I think that I used paper and I used my pen.
Mm-hmm.
However, with the advent of the computer, people express themselves too much, and they don't know how to think clearly and simply. And that's a problem. I think you've got to take the essence of what the business is, distillate it, and communicate clearly and simply what it's all about. I don't think you need these elaborate plans.
Well, that's what I'm saying here. You don't get paralyzed by the details. Paul, let me ask you this. You created a great strategic alliance with Federal Express. Who approached who, and how did that start?
Well, that was after I left. But I remember I always knew Fedex was 25 years ago, we had a relationship.
Fred Smith.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. Tell me more about strategic alliances and growing your business and why they're important in any business.
Why? Because 1 + 1 = 3.
Exactly.
I mean, it's simple. And you got to make the vendors feel like they're your friends. And you've most importantly got to pay your bills. And if you can't pay your bills, which I was in sometimes, in the beginning, I'd say, I've got to get another copy of the invoice and this, that, and the other. The best thing to do is call them and say, you know, I'm having a rough time. I'll pay you in 30 days.
Sure.
They respect your honesty.
Well, you got to communicate. You have to have some decency about you. And
pay your bills on time. That's the critical thing.
Yeah, what about the people that can't? They have a bad business plan, right?
Mm-mm. If you can't, just tell the people you can't pay them on time. They'll try to be understanding, but it's better than lying.
What was the worst time that you had, your biggest hurdle financially? Do you remember at the point you were at? What happened, and how did you overcome it?
I had so many.
What's your worst, your favorite story? You've got to have a good antidote.
I went from one store to about 7. I opened this print shop, and we did blueprinting. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. I had no financial controls in it. It was like dealing with a bunch of... you know, people that are mechanically inclined, that it wasn't like dealing with a Xerox machine, you just pushed a button.
Sure.
That almost bankrupted me.
Mm.
That print shop. I finally sold it. The good guy, Tom Cole, bought it. Then we had this copyright to go against us. And that could have really wiped us out because they had an injunction against us. And they could have put us down if they had an onerous injunction. But I got friendly with the publishers. And they wrote a real nice, they let us survive. That was a tough time.
Well,
how many do you need? I mean, it was a private business, always robbing Peter to pay
the ball. Well, it was a daily.
I had these bookkeepers, man. Oh, God. It was like going to the casino.
They go on and on. Well, let me ask you this. What's the best piece of advice from all the setbacks and tough times you've had? What would Paul Orfila tell himself at the worst possible time? How did you get through it?
All boats float on a rising tide. If you have enough money in the checkbook, you can survive. It's all about the checkbook. And most people are undercapitalized. And most people don't know how to save money.
Yeah, that was one of them on your list that you look for in a partner as well.
Yeah. I don't think you're a good business person if you're not a saver.
Absolutely. Well, Paul, listen, I want to thank you. I mean, there's so much to talk about today. We are wrapping up with this end of the segment. I will try. I'd love to try to get you on with Jack, not to create a war, but I'd like to hear the two perspectives. Would you think about coming on with him?
Yeah, I would.
Okay.
I don't know enough about him, but I just don't like the idea of motivating by fear.
Well, I'll tell you what.
It is, I've noticed it. I've noticed you know, my mom said,
"What's that?
You can't make money when you're running scared." And if you're running scared, you're not looking out for the long term. And you're hitting, so that's why I don't like the ruthless cultures.
Yeah, well, it's tough. And then being in business isn't so easy. I think you could be tough in business. You don't have to be ruthless. But I think what I have to do is send you a copy of Jack's book and send Jack a copy of your book and say, hey, we're going to bring both of you guys on. I think we have two different viewpoints here. Would you join us for that?
Yeah, I would love to.
That sounds great. Any last piece of advice you'd like to give to young entrepreneurs or starting out right now, regardless what their age? What advice do you have for them?
Well, there's only one measure of success in life. And that's that your children want to be with you and they're adults. So don't ever forget where the bread is buttered in your success in your children's eyes.
A little less than 100 square foot space attached to a place called Carlos Hamburgers in Santa Barbara. Rent was $100 a month. How Paul Orfila spearheaded this into a $2 billion business, what it is today. Paul, I just want to thank you again. You did a phenomenal job and I just appreciate your time and what you offered for our guest today.
Oh, thank you.
I want to thank Susan Wickham Beard from Paul Orfila's office, also the team here at Legends of Success, Michael Parks, our producer, and always the intelligent and beautiful Billy Resnick for her help throughout the week. And most of all, I want to thank you for sharing part of your day with us. This has been Legends of Success, the most original success stories in America. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
This report is brought to you by the National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization. November is National Hospice and Palliative Care Month. This year marks the 35th anniversary of the Medicare Hospice Benefit, which has brought high-quality, patient-centered care to millions of Americans. The National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization is working to help people understand that hospice increases quality of life when a cure is not possible, and that it allows patients to spend their final months at home with support for family caregivers. Hospice care is widely covered by both Medicare and most private insurance plans. Ido Bannick, NHPCO President and CEO.
One of the biggest misconceptions about hospice is that it's only brink-of-death care, which is simply not true. There's no reason to fear hospice. It's meant to provide comfort during the final months of life, not just the final hours, and allows patients to make their end-of-life journey at home, surrounded by their loved ones, where they want to be.
To learn more about hospice, see videos of hospice in action, or find a provider in your community, visit momentsoflife.org.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.